You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
خير زوجتي, my wife, my love,
نعمني الله.
The Creator granted you to me.
هي في قلبي.
You are in my heart.
وبكل ما
sacrifice all I am.
صابرة
نعمني. Patient you are in the labor of love. Bringing light to a home once dark. And Allah is my witness. That I am happy with you.
وعهد الله,
a promise to Allah,
أن أكون مخلصا,
that I will be faithful.
وعهد الله,
a promise to Allah,
أن أكون وفيا,
that I will be sincere.
وعهد الله,
a promise to Allah,
أمام كل
before all our loved ones.
وعهد الله,
a promise to Allah,
أمام كل
before our families. For today is the day we wed. Be my friend. Be all that you want to be. Share with me your dreams and all you suffer and feel. When your tears flow like a spring from the depth of your heart, let my soul dry them away. Let my being protect you always. A promise to Allah, that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah, that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah, before all our loved ones. A promise to Allah, before our families. For today is the day we wed.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم, and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 26th of Muharram 1447, corresponding to the 22nd of July 2025. Alhamdulillah, we're already down the almost down the first month of the Islamic year, and that is Muharram. And the questions will be coming in with regards to the month of Safar, and Mufti Sahib will be divulging and also dissecting these myths about the month of Safar. Alhamdulillah, the months of the year, the Islamic calendar, there is no such a thing as it being a bad luck month. There is never such a thing as bad luck in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions, well, it says, we read our kalima, the imani mufassal, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala, that good and bad is from Allah. When good things happen to us, we say Alhamdulillah. When any calamity befalls us, we say Alhamdulillah kulli hal. Because in that calamity, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى, with every difficulty there is ease. And Allah Ta'ala says not once but twice in the Noble Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Allah Ta'ala also says in the Noble Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah Ta'ala will not burden a soul in which they cannot handle. So we must always remember that whatever we're going through in life, whatever the case may be, we must always have that faith, firm yaqeen and tawakkul in Almighty Allah, that Allah Ta'ala will get us through this trial and tribulation that we are going through. That was just off the topic that what we're going to be discussing today. Today we're going to be divulging into a topic of immense significance, the one that lays the very foundation of our homes, and that is the profound importance of choosing the correct spouse in Islam. Marriage is just not a social contract, but rather it is a sacred covenant, a union, as you heard the Nasheed we were playing, a promise to Allah. It's a sacred covenant, a union that is designed to bring sukoon, peace, mercy, rahmah, and muhabbat and love. It is also part, is half of our deen, that when we get married, then it completes half our iman. And the partner or the spouse that we choose in life can either be an influence to us or it can be a detriment to us. It all depends how we look. We can't be going choosing people who are not on Sirat al-Mustaqeen and we know all these kinds of things that is not according to Sharia. But rather, the person or the spouse that we choose will not only influence our lives, but also it will influence our progeny, our generations that will have to follow. So inshallah, we're going to be listening to a verse from the Noble Quran, and that is Surah Ar-Rum, verses 21. So inshallah, we're just going to pull it up here onto the system. Surah Ar-Rum, verse 21. And also there's another verse from Surah An-Nuh. That we're going to be listening, and then we're going to be looking at the meanings of these verses and what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us with regards to choosing the spouses. And Allah ta'ala is mentioning that we should find the correct spouse in with regards to this to these ayat in the Noble Quran. And also, if one is looking for a spouse, one should read the verse from Surah Al-Furqan, that's Surah number 25, verse number 75. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And as you know, we have our show, The Bliss of Marriage, and that will take place, that takes place every Tuesdays and Wednesdays between 11 and 12 a.m. And that is with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahab and Mulana Zaid Khan. So inshallah, let's listen to this, the verse of Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 21.
أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And then our next verse that we're going to listen to is Surah An-Nur, and that is verse number, ayat number 32. So inshallah, we're going to listen to this, and then we're going to be listening to, or we're going to be seeing the translation as to what Almighty Allah is telling us about the following verses. And that was the verses from the Noble Quran, Sadaqallahu Al-Azim. So let's look at the first ayat that we listened to, that is Surah Ar-Rum, ayat number 21. And the translation goes as follows. And among his signs is this, that he created you for you, mates amongst yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. And he put love and mercy between their hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. And then the second verse that we heard, and marry the unmarried among you, and the righteous among your male slaves and the female slaves. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty, and Allah is all encompassing and all knowing. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. So these verses beautifully highlight the purpose of nikah, the tranquility, love, and mercy. But also by achieving this year, it depends heavily on who we get married to, who we make nikah to. And it's so important in choosing the correct spouse in Islam. It is half of our deen, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that when a servant of Allah marries, he has fulfilled half of his deen, so let him fear Allah regarding the other half. This is narrated by Bayhaqi. A powerful statement indeed, that indicates that marriage is a fundamental pillar of our deen, and it safeguards us from all the sin, the zina, that we complete, and completing our spiritual journey, and that is getting closer to Almighty Allah. And you know, the Islam is a way of life, it's a peaceful life, and by this, by making nikah, that we are trying to avoid all the sins and zina that we commit, the zina, the fornication that shaitan may put into our ears and make us commit all these wrongs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, when we make a nikah, we're choosing the spouse for us, you must also remember it's not only about you and the spouse. Allah ta'ala will bless you with progeny that is to follow. Now remember, if you get married to a person who must be Allah conscious at all times, then your progeny that is to follow will have that same akhlaq, that same characteristics that my father and mother are, deeni wise, Allah conscious. Now I read the salah 5 times a day, you know, for the male folk go to the masajid, and your children will see that, you know, my parents are like this, and the children are like sponges. They mimic the acts that you do. So imagine if you are going to salah on time, you read in your salah, you read in your Quran, your children are going to see this here. They're going to start mimicking. They want to tell you, like, you know what, Abba, Ummi, you know, bring a kitab, they want to read the kitab, they want to read the Quran, they'll sit with you on the musalla. And then now you're bringing, you're choosing, you're making your child grow closer to Almighty Allah. And it has an impact on our generation, and your spouse will be the co-parent of our children. And their values, like I was saying, their values, the characteristics and the commitment to Islam will directly shape the next generation that is to follow. Now, if you are showing your children all these things, now their children, inshallah, they will guide their children, because they will say that I saw my father doing 1, 2, 3. My father used to go to the masajid. My father used to read Quran at home, and all these things. And that your child will teach their children, and it's a lineage, and it continues like that there. And we make dua that the progeny that are to follow will be on Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Marriage is meant to be a source of strength in good times and in bad times. When you get married, you know that you are committed, you are open, you are transparent. That's the main thing. You have to be very transparent and open when it comes to, with regards to your marriage and your spouse. And you know, we cannot hide the things when it comes to you being your spouse, with your spouse, because you need to be very open with them. You need to show them and explain to them. If you're having a bad day at work, they are there as your pillar of strength, as your shoulder, you know, to if you have any problems. Firstly, we turn to Almighty Allah and beseech Allah's help. But then, if you are going to be sitting with a sulky face at home, your spouse is not going to know what's happening in your life. That's why you all are there together to get through the storm together. After every storm, there is always sunshine. At the end of every, there's a light at the end of every tunnel. So even if you are going through any difficulties in your life, and your spouse is there with you, then you all are there together to go through it together, not to shoulder the burden only by yourself, but rather let them ease the burden and go through it together. Because when you get married, it's very, we say, a costly affair. Because when you get married, then you are taking somebody else's daughter, or somebody, or you as a person, you are bringing somebody else's daughter in, and you are now going to provide for that person, for that spouse of yours. And now you need to beseech Almighty Allah's help. Allah will open the road for you. Yes, no doubt. Like the ayat says that those who are poor or feel that they cannot marry, Allah Ta'ala will enrich them from His bounty. Allah Ta'ala is all-encompassing and knowing. That you must never fear in getting married, because Almighty Allah will encompass you and enrich you. Because why? You are making that first step. You're making that step to get married, to complete half your deen. Allah will make it such. And a good spouse will encourage us to do the righteous deeds. And it will always be a reminder to remind you of Almighty Allah, and will provide with you through life's challenges. Like I said, that at the end of every tunnel there is light, and your spouse will encourage you that, you know what, don't worry, everything will be okay, we're going to get through this together. You know, words of encouragement that will make you feel, will uplift you to say, you know what, yes, we will get through this year. This too shall pass, and it'll be okay. It's not the end of the world. Your problem is not going to be there forever. Your spouse is going to help you, and you're going to be there together, because you all are together as one. You'll never get married just the two of you all, but rather two families got married together. Now, obviously, we're not going to bring the in-laws in this year, but it's rather you all are sorted out together. A marriage is meant to be a source of strength. And we'll make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants us spouses that will be our companions, not in only in this world, but in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So the guidance, so what guidance does Islam provide when it comes to choosing a spouse? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had outlined the priorities in a famous hadith. When a woman is married, she is married for four things: her wealth, her lineage, her beauty, or her akhlaq. So marry the one with deen and you will succeed in life. So sometimes we look at, like Mufti Saab says, you look at and mal and jamal. You look at the wealth and the beauty. But rather we should look at the akhlaq. Beauty will fade away. The money will come and go. But the person's heart will always remain the same. When you marry them, they marry with a good heart, with that good akhlaq, their heart will go on until they return to the mercy of Almighty Allah. That is choosing the right spouse. So we should never, yes, money is important, wealth is important, living a good life is important. No one saying, no, we mustn't have a good life. But always remember, when it comes to priorities, you must look at the type of woman she is. Look at her akhlaq, look at her deen. What type of way she's, you know, her characteristics, soft-spoken person, you know, that kind of thing. Now we're going to break it down. We're going to break this hadith down, right? There are four principles. And a principle applies equally to when choosing a man. Now we look at it vice versa. So when a man goes for proposal and he's choosing a spouse, he looks at four things in a woman. Now, vice versa. We look at the deen, the piety of a person, of a man, when he shows his commitment to Almighty Allah, that every situation that he's going through, he doesn't turn to makhluk, he doesn't turn to man, no. But rather, he turns, it is 2 rakat, salatul hajat, 2 rakat nafil salat. He says, Ya Allah, I ask thee, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship, and thee alone do we ask for help. Every salah we read surah Fatiha, and we ask Almighty Allah to help us and to beseech us. We are having that conversation with Almighty Allah that we only ask Allah for help and no one else, no other human being or no other deity can help. We ask Almighty Allah, yes, the people that are that are blessed, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with wealth. Allah Ta'ala uses them as a means to answering your dua. You say, Ya Allah, I'm going through such a debt, I'm going through such a so and so thing. Ya Allah, you relieve me of my stress, you relieve me of my debt. We make that dua if you are going through any any debt that you're going, any financial situation. You turn to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you make it possible, Ya Allah, you remove my debt. Whatever I'm going through, Ya Allah, you are Razak. Call upon Allah's 99 names. Surah Fatiha is the opening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Fattah, is the opening. Al-Razak, the provider. Al-Ghani. All these beautiful names of Almighty Allah, we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will provide for us. And you know, you read وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ Surah Talaq, verse 2 and 3. And Allah ta'ala will open the road for you. But you must always have that faith and yakin that Allah ta'ala will make it possible. My beloved marhum father always used to tell me, Sulaiman, always remember this, Allah can do with the means, without the means, against the means, beyond the means. And that is so true, that if you have that faith and yakin in Almighty Allah, Allah can do, there is no undare in Allah's arsh. Allah says, kun fayakun, be and it shall be. And when a woman is choosing a spouse, you look at a person who is Allah conscious, who is always fearing Allah, has that fear for Almighty Allah, that whatever action I do, my Allah is watching me. You might hide from people, but remember Allah Ta'ala knows the beating heart of the darkest end under the darkest rock. Pitch is dark as night, Allah can see, Allah can hear that ant, what it is saying, and its heart that is beating. That is Almighty Allah. And when we look at a person, when a woman is looking for a man to get married, you look at his akhlaq. You ask them, you tell your menfolk, you know, they do a background check. You call it background check to find out what type of a person he is. You see that he goes to the masajid. The musallis know him. They say, you know, this is a very good boy. You know, he comes for his salah. He's got good akhlaq, good manners, you know. And this is deeply entwined with our deen, because a person who is truly religious will exhibit some kindness, in empathy, you know, honesty, integrity, and he'll show respect to others. And especially when it comes to his family and your family, they embody the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will not only be good to his family, but when you meet, he will be good to your family as well. Must look for somebody who will strive to learn and to implement Islamic teachings in their life. Now, when they say this here, it always looks at a person who's always striving for knowledge. Striving for knowledge. How they can improve themselves. You know, be it your fiqh, your aqaid, your salah, anything with regards to deen, and you're always learning. Learning new things on a daily basis. And with his akhlaq, and even someone who doesn't know him, but will look at him and say, you know what, this person here has good akhlaq. You can see in the way he's very respectful. The way they talk to us, they don't speak with a harsh tongue, but rather they speak with empathy, they speak with a soft tongue. They speak with kindness. And how? The honesty, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq. The honest and the truthful. The honesty and the trustworthiness. And you know, sometimes when a man especially, their mugage can go. When I say mugage can go, meaning that they can lose their temper very quickly. But do you want to live with a person who has a short temper? Do you want a person who's always going to fight and throw, you know, they say, throw the toys out the court after every small argument? Would you want to live with a person like that? You have to always walk on like you're walking on eggshells. No, you cannot live like that. You must look at a person who is calm, who's respectful, who's respectful to their, to you, to your family, to his parents, to any other elderly person. When they greet a person, you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the tone, you just can't say assalamu alaikum. What is assalamu alaikum? You must say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, there's so much barakah, so much blessing in reading. How long it'll take to make salam? But we look at his akhlaq, we look at the way he respects others. And are they capable of handling the marriage? Marriage is not only, you know, that in inverted commas we say honeymoon phase. But once that all that fun and game is over, then what's going to happen? Now then the real life starts. This is when you go back to work. And now your responsibility is to look after her. You cannot make her cry for smallest of things. If she wants something, and obviously you can't be demanding, but within the person's means. But yes, Allah Ta'ala is encompassing. Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah will enrich you. Provided that you correct your intention. Your intention is based on your actions are based on your intention. If you have the wrong intention, then obviously nothing is going to go right. But if your intention is correct, that you are doing this solely in pleasure for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, Allah will open the road. When you're looking at a person's beauty and their facial features, or you know, you're looking at the beauty, the Islam acknowledges that physical attraction is a natural human indication. You can't, and plays a role. It is permissible and even recommended to look for someone whom you find attractive, as this contributes that muhabbat and love in the heart. It should never be the primary factor, as beauty is a fleeting and external. Like I said earlier in the program, that beauty will fade away. When you marry the person, 20, 25, 27, 28, you marry them, you know, they're still in their prime, they're young. Now when they start here, when they start reaching 48, 45, 47, 50, 55, you're getting older now. The beauty is fading away. You're not the same person you were when you were 20, 25. Are you going to just say, you know, I'm going to look for someone else now? No. You rather, you look for somebody who has that heart that's going to beat, who's going to be the same way you met them the first time when you got married. That is the beauty of Islam. That we look at akhlaq, we look at the beauty of the inner heart. Rather, yes, you look at attraction, you look for somebody who when you look at them, must make you skip a beat. But you must be attracted, physically attracted to that person. You know? And then lastly, we look at the person's lineage, the wealth and the lineage. What type of family did they come from? While they may offer certain worldly advantages, but they do not guarantee a successful marriage or a blessed home. Many people prioritize this over deen and akhlaq, but only to find themselves in unhappy. Allah promised to enrich those who marry for the sake of deen, as mentioned in Surah An-Nur, verse number 32. So when we're choosing a spouse, do you just go in blindly, you see a person, say, you know what, I want to get married to this person. You don't know this person from a bar of soap. In the English term, you don't know them from a bar of soap. Meaning, you don't know them, who are they, where they come from. What's their family, like the four things that we were discussing. So, we make istikhara, and we ask, or if you're confused, we turn to Almighty Allah and say, Ya Allah, I'm reading this 2 rakat istikhara namaz. Ya Allah, you guide me. And istikhara is not only for marriage, but rather in any important decision that we want to make in life, we read Salatul Istikhara. Istikhara is asking or seeking Almighty Allah's guidance, asking Him to grant you goodness in whatever and avert what is not. And always trust the process. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have that faith and tawakkul in Almighty Allah. Rabbi inni, and the dua of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin fakir. Ya Allah, you grant me what is good, you grant goodness. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin fakir. And when you read your istikhara, you get the guidance that you are seeking from Almighty Allah. Allah will enrich you, Allah will encompass you. And when you want to find out about a certain individual, then ask your brothers or ask your family, the male folk, that ask or speak to the imams of the masjid. Speak to the sheikh. Tell him, like, you know, we're doing a background check on this person. We just want to know what type of a person he is. And when you're getting married for the first time and you need expert advice, put it like that, expert advice, who do you turn to if you are not comfortable in speaking to your parents? Then speak to someone who you can trust. Someone who is like an elder in your family, that you want their advice, who's been married for so many years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years they've been married. Ask their guidance, seek their guidance. I tell them that, you know what, I'm getting married soon, and what advice can you give me? Take all these things, because you know why, you are going into something so fresh and so new, that we don't know what it is. It's the first time that you're getting married and you're jumping into deep end. Now you don't want to go in and you don't know what to expect and what to do, because you've never been married. And then these people that have been married have seen life. They know what's it like, because they've obviously experienced it. Through the good times and the bad times, they will know what they are speaking about when it comes to giving advices on marriage, on the topic of marriage. And when you are married, pay attention to the interactions with other people and how they handle different situations. Will they be able to handle pressure, or will they just say, you know what, you throw in the towel, or, you know, I can't handle this anymore. Me, I'm out. But are you going to get married to a person who's going to do that, or a person that's going to come, who's going to comfort you and say, we're going to get through this together? I never marry you only for good times, but also for the bad times. We call it bad times, but there's nothing bad. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Marriage is a beautiful thing. We ask Almighty Allah to grant those who are seeking spouses, that Allah Ta'ala grant them spouses that will be the coolness of their eyes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the spouses that will be the coolness of our eyes. And you must see how you must pay attention to their interaction with others and how they handle different situations. When you're going to see a potential spouse, Islam permits and encourages meeting the potential spouse in a setting. You can go into their home, you know, but obviously there has to be a mahram. If you're going to see a female, there has to be a mahram present. But you can't just be alone, because I mean, with two people, third person is shaitan. And we don't want to allow shaitan to get involved into a sacred union. Inshallah, if there is one, then we don't want shaitan to be the cause from the beginning. And people often put on their best face through initial meetings. When you see the person, you know, say, oh, you know what? But we need to look beyond. You need to see, in inverted commas, the bad side. Because initially they put on the best faces, and after 2-3 years you'll hit your head and you say, Ya Allah, what did I get myself into? Now we don't want that to happen. Rather, we want to say after 2-3 years we must say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with such a spouse. Someone I couldn't ask much more, better. You are so happy, you are so content with this person. You say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu. And you must always look for consistency in their character and their religious commitment. Are they the same person when they were with your friends and family as they were with you? By this statement, meaning at home, is he a tyrant? But outside, in front of your family, is he this jovial, laughing person that's showing smiles? But at home, now you'll be thinking of, was this the same man we had an argument with? Now he's talking to my friend, to the family, like nothing happened. No. It must be the same that you are in your house, that's the same way you'll be outside. So inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break with regards to, and we're going to listen to that nasheed about the promise.
Precious one, my wife, my love, the Creator granted you to me. You are in my heart. For thee, I would sacrifice all I am. Patient you are in the labor of love, bringing light to a home once dark. And Allah is my witness that I am happy with you. A promise to Allah that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah that I will be sincere. A promise to Allah before all our loved ones. A promise to Allah before our families. For today is the day we wed. Be my friend. Be all that you want to be. Share with me your dreams and all you suffer and feel. When your tears flow like a spring from the depth of your heart, let my soul dry them away. Let my being protect you always. A promise to Allah that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah before all our loved ones. A promise to Allah before our families. For today is the day we wed. Every day I long for you more and more. My companion, your beauty fills my eyes. Glorified is the one who fashioned you. And granted me with your precious presence. Even if a day shall come when dark clouds fill the sky and no hope can be found in the distant horizon, the light in your eyes will bring me back to life. A promise to Allah that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah that I will be sincere. A promise to Allah before all our loved ones. A promise to Allah before our families. For today is the day we wed.
Listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
It's gone 9 minutes to 11 Central African time, and this is where we come to the end of our show. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we say Jazakallah Khairan for spending your precious time with me during this time, this between 10 and 11 on the mid-morning show. Inshallah, we'll catch up with you tomorrow at the same time, at the same place. Let me give you the rundown for the shows that are to follow. Next up will be our news at 11 a.m. Thereafter will be the bliss of marriage with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab and Maulana Zaid Khan. That will take us up to 12 p.m. Then will be Alpha Sinkosi between 12 and 1. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Adhan. Then 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the Tafsir of Surah Tawbah, verse 28. Then 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the Tafsir from the archives. 2 to 3 will be the lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Nasiha by Maulana Musa Akhudi. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir that you will hear from 1 to 1:30. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sidak, inshallah. And then from the team, this is it, from the team of the Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah.